star Margaret Whiting, our special guest Merle Oberon. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bill.
The local papers have been running the same weather report fair and sunny every day for 6 days now. They've had to run the same report. The weatherman got lost in the fog on the way to work.
No, I spent Sunday on the beach, and in the first 20 seconds, I had a beautiful tan. It was very becoming, but it's the last time I help anyone pull the cork out of his coffee thermos.
I had it with cream and sugar yet. Everybody was at the beach. It was so crowded down there, I could only get one little spot of sunburn, and I wouldn't have gotten that if the lady next to me hadn't had a pierced ear.
I've never seen such crowds. The beach was so crowded, I swam for an hour before I even got to the water. But I love to relax on the sand and watch the beautiful girls taking a sun bath. They have to relax. In those bathing suits, they break the law if they move. I won't say the gal's suits are skimpy this year, but when a girl drops her handkerchief, she isn't flirting, she's in trouble. A lot of the girl's suits are made of nylon. I finally realize what DuPont means when they say better things for a better life through chemistry. And I want to tell you, that's the snootiest beach down there. You know how they said make you take a shower before you can go into the pool? Well, they made me take one before they let me into the bathhouse. I swam around in the ocean from 1 p.m. until after dark. I didn't intend to, but I was wearing one of those plastic bathing suits, and I found out it dissolves in water. What traffic? I've been in heavy traffic before, but it's the first time I ever locked bumpers, and they were both mine. California's jammed with tourists, too. I passed 50 cars from other states. That's how I knew they were from other states. They let me.
Yes, sir. There are a lot of out-of-state cars on the road. You can tell by the pictures and the license plates. Idaho has a potato, Iowa has an ear of corn, and California has a roller bandage and a splint.
And there's a big difference between the traffic in the east and in the west. Back east, everyone drives as though they know where they're going. Out here, they drive as though they know where they're going. They've already picked out the pallbearers.
Tonight.
Oh, we have Merle Oberon as our guest, Bill.
Gee, you're really living, aren't you?
Oh, they don't mean anything to me, Bill. I'm always surrounded by pretty women. They're just moths attracted to my flame.
Your flame?
That's right.
I didn't even know your pilot light was turned on.
How can his teeth glare that way when everything else in his head is switched off?
How'd you manage to meet Merle Oberon, Bob?
Well, it happened the other morning. I'd heard we had a new neighbor, and I was out in the backyard when a voice said...
Hello there.
Well, Merle Oberon! Well, this is a pleasant surprise.
Thank you.
You know, the neighbors are getting prettier all the time.
Really? Who lived here before me?
Maxie Rosenblum. Somehow he didn't look quite as shapely as you in a sunsuit. What do you know?
I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
I'd be glad to do you a favor, honey.
I was trimming the hedge and I dropped the clippers over on your side. Would you please hand them back to me?
Why, certainly. Here you are.
You're very kind.
Oh, don't mention it. What are neighbors for if they can't be helpful? You know, the trouble with this world is people don't consider the rights of others. I figure, put yourself in the other fellow's place. Do to him as you'd want him to do to you. Live by the golden rule.
My, what a nice talker you are.
Thanks. You know who I am, don't you?
Of course. You're the man who throws the empty beer cans in our swimming pool.
I tell you, I want to be fair about it. I throw the garbage over the other fence. You do know who I am, don't you?
Naturally. The real estate man told me when I rented this place that I'd be living next door to Bob Hope.
Were you pleased?
But of course. I was delighted. You don't find many 16-room houses with a swimming pool renting for $30 a month.
Yeah, this neighborhood's nothing since Crosby moved in.
It's quite warm this morning, isn't it?
It sure is.
I've got some cold drinks in the refrigerator. Why don't you come over and have a nice tall glass of lemonade?
Oh, sounds wonderful.
Come on, then. Walk around through the little gate there.
No, I'll just run and jump over the hedge.
Bob, you'd better come through the gate.
Oh, nonsense. I'm an athlete. I'll run and jump over the hedge. Watch me.
But, Bob...
Uh-oh.
While you're in there, fish out the beer can, please.
Well, that's how it happened, Bill. That's how I met Merle Oberon.
And while you were drinking the lemonade, you asked her to be on the show tonight?
No, that happened the next day. I bumped into Merle in the neighborhood grocery store.
Let me see now. I've bought the meat, butter, soap, bread. Oh, why, Bob.
Well, fancy meeting you here.
Yes, and fancy meeting you at the post office this morning, and at the cleaners, and at the gas station, and at the fruit market, and at the 5 and 10, and at the bank.
Yeah, I wish you'd slow down. I'm pooped.
Bob, I'm beginning to think you're half wolf, half bloodhound. Do you have to trail me all over town?
Oh, I'm not so bad, Merle. I didn't follow you into three of the places you went.
Yeah. The girdle department of the May Company, the beauty parlor, and the steam room at the YWCA.
Yeah, I can't go in there. My card has expired.
Bob, I came in this grocery store to do my shopping. Will you please go away and leave me alone?
Or maybe I can help you shop, Merle. Do you want anything out of the store icebox here? Mmm, look at that big, long, yummy pickle in there.
Pickle? That's your reflection in the glass.
Please, I'm proud of this dill. Come on, Merle, I'll push your shopping cart for you.
Bob, I am perfectly capable of buying my groceries without any help from...
Pardon me. Excuse me. Let me through here.
Oh, sure.
That's the third time that man has rushed by like that. Who is he?
Oh, he's the busiest guy in the store, Merle. He's in charge of raising the price of coffee.
Well, I'm going over to the next department, Bob.
Well, I'm right behind you. Gee, it's really crowded in here today. You know, I was just thinking, after you finish your shopping, why don't we take a drive in my car and have a nice lunch somewhere? Then I'll pick you up tonight. We'll go out for dinner and dancing. And then afterward, maybe we could park and do a little smooching. How does that sound?
It's kind of sudden, but it sounds great to me.
My gosh, I've been following the wrong woman.
I'll just pay for my pot roast, and then Buster, we're off to Lover's Lane.
Oh, now, we're...
I may be old, but I still got the spark.
Minute. You're not Merle Oberon.
And you ain't Gregory Peck. Yeah, but at this stage of the game, neither one of us can afford to be particular.
This is a big mistake, I tell you.
Come on, Buster.
I wasn't talking to you. I'm not interested.
Well, I am. That smoochin' sounds good to me. How about a sample now? I'm all puckered up.
You sure are. You got a double pucker there. If you'll just excuse me.
Don't run away. If you're busy now, what are you doing tonight? I got some swell Dizzy Gillespie records and a jug of cider that'll knock your head off.
I'm sorry, I haven't got my beret with me. Look, we couldn't possibly have a date tonight. I don't want to be impolite, but... Isn't there quite a difference in our ages?
Oh, you think so, do you? I'm exactly 52 years old. How old are you?
Should we say 8 o'clock? I'm only kidding. Excuse me, I've got to find someone. Oh, Merle! Merle Oberon!
Well, gee, Bob, you had quite a time in a grocery store.
I sure did, Bill.
And that woman you bumped into accidentally, was she sore at you?
Oh, no, I smoothed the whole thing out. We left the store on good terms. She was wearing my fraternity pin, and I was wearing her pot roast.
Oh, so it was in the grocery store that you asked Merle Oberon to appear on the show?
No, I saw Merle later that day, Bill. In fact, it was night, getting quite dark.
Good goodness, what is that?
Oh, Merle.
Oh, why, Bob.
Hello, Merle.
Bob Hope. What's the idea of sitting in a tree right outside my bedroom window?
Well, it's an apple tree, Merle, and I'm just checking to see if they're ripe. Surprised to see them?
I certainly am. All the other worms are inside the apples.
Is your name Merle or Burl?
This is the last straw, Bob. You followed me all day, and now I find you in a tree outside my bedroom window.
Well, I don't get any wrong ideas, Merle. I just climbed up here to ask you a question. I'm not spying you. I'm not a peeping Tom.
Oh, no? Suppose that when you climbed up here, I happened to be getting undressed.
Well, that's the risk I had to take.
Well, what's the question you wanted to ask me?
Just this, Merle. Will you appear on my radio show this week?
Will you leave if I say yes?
Sure.
All right, yes. I'll appear on your show. Now, please climb down out of that tree.
Oh, I don't have to climb down, Merle. I'm an athlete. I'll just jump down.
But, Bob, that tree branch is right
over... Here I go! We'll spend more time in this stuff than Esther Williams. And here's Maggie Whiting to sing Answer Me, My Love. Yes, Merle.
Now that I'm here on your show, what are we going to do?
Well, I thought we'd do a sketch with a foreign flavor. After all, we both hobnob with the international set. The Duke of Windsor, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Laurence Olivier, Tennessee Ernie.
Tennessee Ernie? In the international set?
Yeah, they're members of the Eaglebach branch. Well, I think a sketch like that will be just right for your personality, Merle. You often play a beautiful, exotic woman of mystery. In fact, someone said you have the fragile, delicate loveliness of a white orchid gleaming in tropical moonlight.
What a lovely compliment. Who said that, Bob?
I did, but your agent still insists that I pay your full price. You weren't born in this country, were you, Merle?
No, Bob. I was born in Tasmania. My father was a British Army officer, so we traveled constantly. Rangoon, Suez, Shanghai, Malta, Delhi.
My family was like that, Murrah. We moved from London to Cleveland, to South Cleveland, to East Cleveland, to West Cleveland. To Ashtabula and back to South Cleveland again.
Was your father an army man, too?
No, we couldn't pay the rent.
Say, Murrah, you've made a lot of pictures on the continent and in England, haven't you?
Quite a few.
Well, I remember one picture in which you poisoned your husband and they couldn't arrest you. Every detective assigned to the case fell hopelessly in love with you. You were harder to pin anything on than Gypsy Rose Lee.
Yes, I remember that picture, Bob. I had the whole London police force twisted around my finger.
Well, that couldn't have happened if I'd been on the case, Merle.
You don't think I could influence you?
Not in a million years. With me, duty comes first. I could send a dozen beautiful women to the gallows without batting an eye.
You mean, Bob, you'd actually send me to the gallows?
Nothing could swerve me from my duty. I'll show you. Music, Les. How'd you do? I'm Sir Robert Hope, head of Scotland Yard. I'm sort of a Jack Webb in spats. Here in London town, we've been having a nasty series of poison murders. Lord Cavendish got hold of a loaded crumpet. Lord Ipswich passed on while eating his breakfast, keeled over in mid-kipper. The Duke of Shropshire went next. Someone slipped a Mickey in his marmalade. And Lord Essex died a horrible death. He was found lying face down on the floor of the library, strangled with the cord of his own teabag. Our main suspect was a very lovely woman, a leader of London society who was seen in all the right places. Your name, please.
Lady Pamela Oberon.
Your address?
21 Grosvenor Square.
Now tell me, Lady Pamela, where were you on the night of January the 12th?
Why, Sir Robert, don't you remember?
Oh, yes, small world.
What's all this about, Sir Robert?
Well, as you know, there's been a series of murders.
Wait a minute. Why are you measuring me with that tape measure?
I just want to get the facts, ma'am.
I'm sure you wouldn't want to send me to prison.
I'd like to ask you some questions first.
Don't you think I'm beautiful?
Please, that has nothing to do with the case.
I'll come closer. Do you like my perfume?
Madam, this is Scotland Yard.
Oh, very well. What's the first question?
May I bite the back of your neck?
Steady, Sherlock. If you have any evidence against me, Sir Robert, I think I'm entitled to know what it is.
Well, the Crown has a very good case. Reviewing it briefly, 12 men have been poisoned during the last 2 weeks, and you were with each one of them at the fatal moment. And at the chemist's shop in the Strand, you recently purchased 50 pounds of arsenic. Do you have anything to say?
Yes. I didn't commit any of those murders.
Oh, thank goodness. That puts you in the clear. On second thought, Lady Oberon, I'll have to take you into custody.
May I make one phone call?
Of course. Lady Oberon left the room and vanished, disappeared from England completely. We searched for her everywhere. Every place where a lady of the international set might be found. Rangoon, Istanbul, Suez, Rome, Paris. The description of Lady Oberon was broadcast over the BBC. Height 5'4", black hair, blue eyes, beautiful face, gorgeous figure. We only got one answer. He wanted her phone number. It looked hopeless. Then one day I got a tip that she had fled to a foreign country. That was all I needed.
The next morning, Lady Oberon was leaving the famed Shepherd's Hotel in Cairo when a ragged beggar approached her.
Here you are, lady. A pretty flower for the lady. Buy a nice flower. A beautiful flower for the beautiful lady.
Oh, what are you doing tonight?
Sir Robert Hope.
How did you recognize me?
On the third, your wig fell off.
Last time I borrow anything from Jack Benny. Sorry, I'll have to take you back to England.
May I make a phone call?
Of course. I knew instantly that she was just making an excuse in order to escape. So I only waited outside the phone booth for 6 hours. She had vanished again. I returned to England in disgrace.
Sir Robert Hope, in view of your grave dereliction of duty, you are hereby relieved of your position as head of Scotland Yard.
Yes, sir.
You will withdraw from the Houses of Parliament and relinquish your title.
Yes, sir.
It is Her Majesty's wish that you leave England forthwith and never return.
You mean?
Yes, turn in your Margaret Lockwood ashtray, you're through.
I left the room crushed, a broken man. I was the laughingstock of London. Little kids in the street threw rocks at me. The big kids called me names, any of which could get us thrown off the air. Newsboys shouted my shame to the crowds.
Here you are, here you are. Read it in the Daily Express. The Queen says Oprah's a dope. Read all about it. Read it there, read it now. Schnook gets the hook.
Just read it, Bill. Don't enjoy it so much. Guys a chance, and they just won't stop, will they? The weeks went by. There was no trace of Lady Oberon. Then on my last night in England, I attended the soiree at the home of Lord and Lady Chelmsford in Park Lane. It was a very exclusive affair. I glanced across the room, and suddenly I saw her. She was beautiful in a white evening gown with her black hair and long eyelashes tied in a bun at the back. I walked over to her.
Sir Robert.
Quite.
We meet again.
Quite.
You're arresting me?
Quite.
Then why don't you stand up? Why are you crawling about on your hands and knees?
Tight. I alerted Scotland Yard to rush men over, but she was too beautiful, and I couldn't go through with it. I have tickets for the midnight plane for Rio, but they'll arrest us if we travel to the airport together. We've got to separate.
All right.
You take a cab, and I'll meet you. Goodbye, sweetheart.
Goodbye, darling.
The midnight plane, seats 1 and 2. I'll meet you on the plane.
The midnight plane for Rio now leaving from gate 3. Last call for passengers.
I made it. Here's seats 1 and 2. All set to go, honey. We'll have a wonderful life together.
We sure will, Buster. Drag along my Dizzy Gillespie records and a jug of
spice. Oh, wait a minute.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.